Well, say welcome to you. You've joined into the FDN Fantastic Friday Call. It's a Friday again. That's why we call it the Friday Call. So we come to you each week and we talk about functional diagnostic nutrition, about the course, about what's going on with the organization, the company, and we'll answer your questions and all sorts of fun stuff. You never know what's going to be coming at you each week. So we're happy to be with you. I'm your host, Brandon Mole. I've been with FDN for about 5 years now as some capacity of mentoring and teaching and doing the Friday call, and 10 years coming up pretty soon here as a graduate of the course. So it's near and dear to my heart, and I love what I get to do every single day with teaching and with my own clients. It's a wonderful thing. And I'm joined this week, my co-host this week is Brandi Buskow. You guys know her very well, hopefully. If you've ran any labs at all, if you had interaction with the medical director program, you probably talked to Brandi at some point. She's been on several Friday calls with us. She's an awesome practitioner in her own right, has her thriving business as well. Awesome mother, I know, and running the medical director program and several other things. So we could sort of call her Superwoman around here. She does a whole lot, and I thank her for being on with me. So we're going to answer some of your questions here today. It's the main idea, but this is a live call-in show. So if you want to ask a question, make a comment, help answer a question, that's fine too. The number for that is 347-637-1378. Again, 347-637-1378. And you just want to hit 1 on the keypad, and I'll see that you want to come on. I'll bring you on, and we'll chat a little bit. It is July 19th, 2019 for this show, and things are good in FDN land. That's what Reed would say, and it is true. Course is growing. We've got graduates coming out our ears, which is wonderful, and lots of good things happening, a lot of exciting stuff. So we'll go into maybe a few announcements here today, but before we do that, I just want to say hi to Brandi, acknowledge that she's on the line.
Hey, Brandon, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to hopefully help answer some questions today.
Indeed. Thanks for being with me. So, good stuff. So, well, a few announcements. I will announce first and foremost, we always talk about our FTN conference that is fast approaching. So if you're not aware of this, we had our first FTN gathering last year, and it was an awesome event in San Diego. Great speakers, good to connect with so many people, have several hundred FDNs in one place coming from all across the world and the nation. It was pretty incredible time. So it went so well that we said we've got to do this on a regular basis. And so that is still coming up. You can still get tickets, as far as I know, unless Brandi has some information there that we've reached capacity. But it is getting real close, I believe, to capacity. But details on that are at FDNconference.com. So you can go to that website. You probably see the link there in the newsletter and various places. It's November 1st through the 3rd of this year in San Diego. It's going to be downtown San Diego this time. And new venue, so it's going to be a little more room for us. And it's an awesome place at the Hard Rock Hotel. And check out the speaker lineup. Great speakers confirmed. We're going to have lots and lots of education, first of all. We would like to educate and learn about whatever we can that's new and changing, or just going back to some of the foundational things that sometimes that we miss or just being reminded of certain aspects of what we do. So great speaker lineup, a lot of those chosen by you. We ask you, hey, who do you want to hear? Who do you want to have at the conference, or people that you want to hear about or hear from? So, and it's a small enough conference that you're going to have probably some pretty decent access to these folks as well. So last time we did some roundtable discussions where you get to sit in a round table, 10-foot table, and just ask questions of many of our speakers, which that was pretty exciting. So we'll have that. We're going to get together, have a good time. Also, we'll have a lot of our vendors, which is a cool thing too. We like our products. We like love our lab partners and different supplement companies and products and technology, lots of cool stuff. We always have great vendors there. This year's going to be awesome as well. So you can talk to some of these people that you've heard on podcasts, or we've had them on AFTMP events, or you've used their products where you want to just talk to them face-to-face and hear from them. They'll be there available the whole weekend to talk to you, to teach you, to show you. And, most of the time you get a few free samples, which is always fun too. So make plans to be there. Get your tickets, get your lodging, airfare, whatever you need to do for that. Love to have you. if anything, it's just a good gathering of everybody and you know, flesh and blood, face to face. It's a good time. So keep that in mind. Again, fdnconference.com is that website there to get the information. And then Brendan usually does our AFTMP update, but Brendan, I think, is going to handle that for us for now.
Yeah, so we've had a lot of stuff going on in EFDNP lately. This week we had Strictly Business with Kyle Gray, which was a really good show. We have Detective Hour coming up next week. And if you guys are AFDNP members, take advantage of Detective Hour. If you have some cases that you want to get a little extra support on, this is your opportunity to submit your case and be able to talk to a clinical advisor for a full hour. So definitely take advantage of those. We are always looking for cases. So you could submit those to via email to afdnp@afdnp.com, and we'll help you get on the show. Another thing that we're always doing is Facebook Live, so the Real Results Show. Again, that's where we highlight our AFDNP members, and we highlight them on the main FDN website and FDN Facebook page. So if you're interested in that, take a look at the weekly newsletter that goes out for AFDNP members, and there's information on how to apply to be on that show. And we have a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, a lot of really good upcoming webinars. So, you know, keep your eye open for that. If you're not an AFDNP member, definitely consider it. We have a lot of good content coming out and a lot of content that we've already done that is archived, and you could go back and watch it anytime.
I'm into that. AFDNP is pretty incredible, and, you know, it's something where we just have been adding things over time. And so what you get when you say, if you sign up now for AFDNP versus a couple of years ago, it's a lot more content. And you guys are helping us curate that and form that. So it really is, you know, for the people, by the people, whatever you want to say, for the FDNs, by the FDNs. It's what you're needing, what you're looking for. And so it's not just, oh, here's some random stuff we pulled out. We want to know what you want. And so it's going to help your business, help you grow as a practitioner. That's what's going to be in that and is in that that membership there. So, and you can probably display that on your website, that you're a member of AFDNP, part of an association, and that that carries a lot of clout too.
Yes,
good
absolutely.
Stuff there, awesome. Yeah, good. And then also we've got an Ultimate Health Coaching Success Summit that's going on right now. So, Brandy, maybe talk about that too if you can.
Sure. So Reed spent a lot of time interviewing top experts in the field from every topic you can think of about building your coaching practice. And it is live now. So it actually went live yesterday, and it's 4 days of interviews. So if you haven't registered, definitely go take a look at the newsletter. So we sent you the link in the newsletter. We've been talking about it for a couple of weeks now. And hop in there and register and listen and share it. Share it, you know, on your social media. Share it with anybody who you think might be interested, because we're talking about a lot of different topics, business, how to build your business, mindset, all kinds of things that a lot of health coaches are looking for support on. So definitely, you know, don't miss that. Like I said, it launched yesterday and it's live for the next 4 days. So you're still able to go on and listen to the first day of speakers. So if you register now, you'll be able to listen to all of the talks from yesterday and today and moving forward.
Yep. Yep. That's a really cool thing. I advise this, often at the end of a verbal final, and because actually I got this advice from Reed also, and that was just go out there and get your first 10 clients. That's really one of your main goals. Yeah, it's awesome. Join AFDNP. Learn from that. Take a look at our FDN advanced modules, additional trainings. Many people say, what should I take next? What course should I take next? You're looking for your next course. That's cool to be doing that, but sometimes you just need to take the information that you've learned. Because if you graduated the FDN course, then you know quite a bit, and you can help a whole lot of people. But you need to take that information and go find some clients. So that's one thing, it's a challenge. I tell a lot of people, invest in sales and marketing and business courses, or look at what we have within AFGMP, focus on those, because it's cool to know the information, be able to interpret a lab result, put together a great dress protocol. That's awesome, but you have to have somebody to do that with, right? So just fundamentally, you can do mock clients all day long if you want to. That's not going to make you any money, and not going to be super fulfilling. So something like this is just awesome for exactly what I think a lot of people need to be listening to. So I'd say this is top on the list here. If you're going to invest time, effort into something, listen to this. Check out what's being promoted here, as well as what we have in AFGMP. That's a big part of things. So if you have lots of clients, so if you're unsure about your ability as an FDM practitioner, the best thing you can do is do it more. Practice makes perfect. You work out the kinks within your business, within your flow of how you bring on a client and the technology side of that. You get better and faster and more in tune and more adept at quickly evaluating test results and putting together programs and seeing where you need to improve some things. So the more people you get to work with, the quicker, faster that happens, just naturally. And so that's when you become just a better practitioner. It's great to learn and continue to educate yourself, but there's nothing like the hands-on side of things. So this is going to help you be a better health coach, better practitioner, and also help with the business marketing side of things, getting out there and letting people know that you exist. That's one of our biggest challenges. People know that we are here and we can help them. So if that needs to be where your focus needs to be, you know, switch over more towards that. The science is cool, but you've got a lot of tools right now. You can help a lot of people with just what you learned with the FDN course. I know we offer other things, and there's other labs you can run, different things you can train on, but you've got a whole lot you can help people with. That's what I do with probably, I don't know, 85% of clients I have. This is what we're doing. We're just doing the basics of FDN, and that takes care of them.
I absolutely agree, yes.
Cool, yeah, you've been there, Brandy. You've had to take your business from no people to people, and so, yeah, you know what it's about.
Yes.
So yeah, make sure we tune in to that. I know there's been a lot of hard work put into that, and it's a cool thing. So do check that out. And, yeah, so good stuff. That was the big things I had on my mind. Brandy, anything else people need to know about today?
I don't think so. Those were the biggest ones, the conference like you talked about. We did a little AFDNP update, the summit, that's the big one. So definitely, you know, if you've got some time this weekend, register and listen to those talks, because I think you'll be really happy with all of the information that's in there.
Indeed. Cool. All right. Well, before we get into questions, we've got graduates that we want to announce. And so that's something we need to do. Pretty much every week. We've got somebody graduating the course every week, and it's a great thing. That's one of the goals of FDN, so making it through the course and having people out there graduate, and then you go to the next level, and you start to grow your business, and life's good. So we've got 5 graduates this week I want to congratulate, and we are spread throughout the world again, which is cool. All right, wonderful. So first one is Christy Faddis, and she's from California. And then Jenna Richardson from New Jersey, and then Charlotte Keichel, and she's from Colorado. And then our internationals here, so Ajamal Mohan, she's from Ontario, Canada, and then Berna Khoury from Beirut, Lebanon. I think, guys, Berna was at the first FDN conference, so I got to meet her when she was still in training, and now she'll get to go to the conference again this year as a graduate. So awesome thing. FDN is international, and that's the really cool thing. People need FDN, so guys, congratulations. Awesome job, and we look forward to continuing to work together. So how about that? I love it, international aspect of this, too. And you can do FDN from pretty much anywhere, right? So you have an internet access, and people that need to improve their health, you can do some level of FDN everywhere, and that's great. So we're making an impact worldwide.
Yes, congrats to all of those trainees. They put in the work, and now they're ready to start working with clients. So good job, guys.
Indeed. Very cool. All right. Well, hey, again, this, guys, is a call-in show, so if you're on the call right now and you want to ask a question or make a comment, you can hit 1 on the keypad, and we'll bring you on. Otherwise, the number to call is 347-637-1378, and you can jump right in there. So I do have several questions here we're going to go through, but maybe before we jump right into questions, Brandy, anything else on your mind or a thought that you want to share with anybody? I just kind of always let Brendan, if he has something on his mind, to be able to share it, give him an opportunity to, but if not, that's fine. We can grab a caller.
No, I just think everybody's doing such a good job of getting through the course. I think, you know, all the mentor team's doing an awesome job of answering questions and helping everybody. And I just want people to know that if you need any support whatsoever, we're here for you. We want to make sure we're supporting you so that you can get through the course and we can get you to the other side where you're actually out there helping people. And I know, Brandon, you talk about that every week, but that's really what our goal is. Our goal is not to make it hard for you to get through the course, but to support you so that you can get through it and start working with people, because that's the ultimate goal of FDN, is we want as many health coaches out there as possible helping as many people as possible.
Yes, exactly right. So multiple ways you can get in touch with us, through email, through Facebook, lots of ways, and we'll support you. All right.
Absolutely.
Well, hey, we've got a hand raise here, so let's try it here. Let's see who we've got. We've got 289 area code. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, this is Elizabeth. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, Elizabeth. We're doing good. I think you called in previously, didn't you?
I have called in previously, yes.
Yeah,
definitely.
You're a newbie, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I was
one
of the Paleo FX18, yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
what's going on today?
The question we talked about earlier was the freeze response, if that counts as a parasympathetic or sympathetic response. Yeah. So now I've moved on to module 10. Very exciting.
All right.
And I've just finished the diet portion of module 10, and I'm sort of trying to get my head around helping people with their macronutrient ratios and using the diet worksheets to do that. And I'm looking at the diet worksheets, and there's this question about satiety and, you know, being hungry afterwards and needing to eat. And so I'm wondering if the test results come back and somebody's dealing with parasites, do you wait to start those diet assessment check sheets until after you've done parasite eradication?
Good question. Good point. So, yeah, those are very handy. So, yeah, diet check record sheet. So, so if you guys out there are not familiar with that, hopefully you are. So we have a couple different versions of that, but you can have your client to write down what they're eating, you know, each meal, maybe a few snacks, and then you want them to think and consider maybe an hour or two after they eat that meal, how are they feeling? That's one of the ways that we gauge, is the diet that you're on right now working for you. So you look at, like Elizabeth said there, satiety. Are you hungry? Do you have cravings? Do you want something to eat an hour later? Are you craving sweets? Do you feel satiated? How's your energy overall? How's your focus? How's your mood? These things we ask about. And those are good gauges of, hey, do I have the macros tuned in well? And a lot of times what will happen is a person will find, they look back and say, hey, that meal and that meal, I felt great after those two, but these I did not. And then you can look at the sheet as a practitioner and say, okay, here's possibly why that meal did not work for you and why it did. And so you might, you know, find a few magical meals, is what I called them when I was first doing the metabolic typing and fine-tuning that, of, wow, you know, this meal, I felt amazing afterwards. And I ate it a second time and I felt really good. Wow, this is great. It's great to know my body can feel amazing, that I can find food that really resonates and works well with my body. So super great tool. So just on the onset, I'll say that. But then directly, Elizabeth, I would say to this, not necessarily. I wouldn't wait necessarily to try to fine-tune that until the gut aspect is done. And the reason I say that is because what you're coming at, I think, is that there are going to be possibly some changes that, well, for sure, that go on with the gut. And also appetite and signaling can be a little goofy during a pathogen protocol and when we're working on the gut. I've had people that have lost appetite. Most people will gain a little more appetite during a parasite protocol, for sure. I've noticed that. So definitely that can happen. They can have a few fluctuations there with it. But I still think you still want to go ahead and start thinking about the fine-tuning macronutrient side of things, even though you may have to sometimes take a little deviation from that, or factor in the fact that you're changing, remodeling the gut. Things are shifting probably in a pretty major way. So I would say, in short, don't wait. I'd go ahead and start using those. And then if you come up along something, that's where the benefit of talking with your client on a real regular basis makes a big difference, because that's the course correction side of things. So I might say to that person, if they have fine-tuned their diet and they found out, hey, this is just exactly where I need to be for all the macros and I'm feeling really good on this, and they start the Pathogen protocol, and all of a sudden, hunger increases, for example, we might say, you know what, it's probably going to last just maybe a few weeks. Just be okay with it. Don't necessarily change anything. And just kind of ride that out, and eventually that's going to shift and change. It usually, for me, I've noticed with clients, it's usually maybe 2-3 weeks maybe or so where you have this shift, and all of a sudden the body's okay, more back to normal. That's been my experience. Can't be, not for everybody's going to have that same experience, but I think that's so. You could potentially make some adjustments to macros during a pathogen protocol if you felt like that they could focus on that and do that, but most of the time I think it's kind of a short-lived thing. I don't know. Brandy, what's your experience on that?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I like to use them at the beginning because, you're going to have that time frame where your client gets the test kit and they have to collect their sample, send it back, and then you have to wait for the test results. And so it's a good opportunity for you to use the diet check record sheets and really help them work on their diet and get really comfortable with that before starting a pathogen protocol. And, there may be times during the protocol where, like you said, Brandon, their appetite's going to change. For instance, maybe they weren't digesting well, and as they're going through the protocol, they might find, all of a sudden I'm feeling full a lot faster because their digestion is improving. So, you could use them as course correction. And I have done that. If we're running into problems, I'll have my client fill out another day or two in the middle of the protocol and just see what's going on, and we can make some tweaks and changes. But it's a really good tool to start with. I find clients get overwhelmed sometimes, and so if we can take things step by step, the diet piece is really easy and a good step to really focus on at the beginning, so they can get really comfortable with that, like it's second nature almost to them, and then we can start implementing like the gut pathogen protocol and some of the other things that we talk about.
Beautiful. That's really helpful. Thank you, guys.
Cool. Yeah, you're welcome. Always good, insightful questions. I appreciate those. And I will say sometimes people, I'll add this, just tack this onto it. I know a lot of people that maybe eat a vegetarian or vegan diet or just don't eat very much food at all, because almost subconsciously, if not consciously, for the past 5 years, every time they ate anything or certain foods, they felt bad. So you just stop eating that. All of a sudden, it's just something out of your diet that you look back and say, well, I haven't eaten that for a very long time. Or I'm used to snacking all the time because I have poor digestion, so every time I eat more than a small snack, I feel terrible. And so you just kind of fall into this pattern of eating just based on discomfort. And so you hopefully those will start to shift too, because we should have an appetite. We should be able to consume a decent amount of calories and just pure food for nutrition.
Great.
So, yeah.
That's super helpful. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. Good question. Thanks for calling in again.
Yeah, no problem.
Awesome. So she's making her way through Module 10, so that's very good. So she'll be onto an R&R here pretty soon, looks like. That'll be in her future. Yeah, good question on that. I was just I was actually talking and going over some diet macronutrient fine-tuning with the client this morning, and she had gone from kind of like this typical snacker and not really cognizant and aware of fats, proteins, and carbohydrates. So once you actually had her do a three-day diet check record for me as part of the intake process, I have my clients to do that. I think definitely an option that you could do there. And within 3 days of diet check record, you pretty much know how this person is eating. You have a really good feel, and you can start to pinpoint some of those things. So I like having that information going into the R&R, so we can touch on diet, hopefully, if there's time, during an R&R. So looking at her initial results there, a snacker, a lot of carbohydrates, several meals didn't have much protein or fat at all, and of course she tested as a fast oxidizer. So I already knew there was some work to be done, and I knew that just a few tweaks within that and bringing some of those things to her front of her mind, along with in the MRT, I had an MRT as well. That combination together was super powerful. So within 2 weeks, she'd lost 7 pounds. Pain and joints, inflammation was starting to go away, and she had a lot of fatigue, a whole lot, like almost every day she had multiple hours or big blocks of the day where she could just do nothing but just lay on the couch, just didn't have the energy to do things. And she said, yeah, I had several times the past few weeks here that I would just be up during the day and like, whoa, look at those energy. What do I do with this energy? So it was almost a reprogramming of the mind and thinking about, okay, now that I have energy, what am I going to spend my time doing right now? Well, I can take care of this and this. So just tweaking a few things with diet can make some big, big shifts within a short period of time. For her, it was like less than 2 weeks. We've already seen some big shifts. So I like to have the information going into it so I have a feel of where to start to teach when it comes to macros.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, when you have your clients fill those forms out, you know, it's almost an awakening, so to speak, for them, because they've never really taken the time to slow down and really think about the foods that they're eating and how it makes them feel. Mm-hmm. So it's always an interesting conversation when you go through them and they're like, you know, I didn't realize that, you know, the coffee and whatever I have for breakfast was probably the reason why I felt so tired by lunchtime. So it's actually teaching them to take some time to really tune into their body and to listen to what it's telling them. So I think it's a really powerful tool for us to use, not only in the beginning of the protocol, but throughout the protocol, because they can always go back to those and kind of check in with themselves and see how they're feeling and how they're doing and learn to listen to their body.
Exactly. That's probably one of the most beneficial things from that exercise. Listen, learn how to listen through your body and see how you respond to things. Super powerful. With this client too, we talked about this, and he hadn't put down how much beverages they consume, how much liquids, and she was literally about 12 ounces of liquids a day, and that was it. And part of that was coffee. So it's like, well, okay, there's a big boulder right there we can address. And so she had tripled or quadrupled her water consumption. And that was probably part of the improvement that she was feeling as well. But you saw that on the diet check record sheet. You saw, okay, how much liquid are you consuming and what kinds? So you can start to work on the hydration aspects of things too. And those are, I know a lot of practitioners will do, like Brandy's talking about here, do a session before the R&R, before lab results come in, cover some of the big basic things. Because if you do a good thorough intake, like we do, you're going to find several things they could work on there, like, across the board, everybody needs to do this, 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 and this. You'll find some things to work on, and you can already have symptom improvement and a person feeling better even before you get to go over the labs. You know, how cool is that?
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, we're always we always want to just do the labs right away, but, you know, if we work on the lifestyle things, I mean, that tool alone, for some clients, you could work with them for like a month and a half, 2 months, just working and tweaking their diet, and they'll see a ton of improvement without even running one lab. So I think it's a really powerful
yes.
tool.
Yep, exactly. So yeah, so it's good. I think it's good, just like we're talking about with the Health Coaching Summit, just reminders of little things. Maybe you aren't doing that with your clients. Maybe you need to incorporate that or have a better, more of a focus on that, work it into your system and what you're doing. Hopefully it is just a normal thing that you do, maybe not quite in the way that we're talking about it. Good stuff. Okay. All right. So, hey, about half an hour left from the call here. So if you have a question, you want to jump on the phone, then please do. Take advantage of it, because we have other questions we'll jump on to if we don't. So, I'll jump on to this one here that I've got. This is the course question here. So in Module 3, when Reed starts going over a 205A page 2 in case studies, he says that he only asks the client for one main complaint instead of asking about all their complaints. Can someone explain why? Don't we want to know everything they're experiencing so we can give them a good protocol? So this, what I think is they're picking up on here is that obviously, yeah, we do want to know everything they're experiencing. So Metabolic Chaos Scorecard is super extensive, right? We ask lots and lots and lots of symptom point questions. Our intake forms are very, very extensive. So we definitely want to know what's going on. But you have to take those individual symptoms, and that's why we ask them for their top five that they put on there and rate those. And also, as you know, all those points that are in each one of those categories, as they're filling out, you know, 0 through 5 as far as the severity of that, those are going up and being tabulated in the different categories on that sheet there. So we're taking the individual symptoms, because you've got to start there. The person has to think about, because that's their day-to-day, what they're feeling. You start there. I read through those, and if they make notes about those, I'll put them into my mind through this process. But I'm not going to focus on those individual symptoms that much, because you can get kind of crazy with that. It's way too much detail. Really need to sort of back out a little bit and look at the individual categories and the total points that they have, metabolic chaos scorecard points, and that just helps you to evaluate how much they're dealing with, how much symptoms they've got going on, and then what categories that these are showing up in, so their own flavor, you know, brand of metabolic chaos. And then the top five are super important, I think. That's the ones I will typically keep it to less than five if I can, or five. And really what it comes down to is more of the principles of FDN, because we don't focus on symptoms. We are aware of those. We want symptom points to go down for sure. And, yes, we need all the information so we can make a good protocol. But because we don't focus on symptoms, we don't need to think and know of 50 symptoms they have so we can find the herb that covers up this and the amino acids that's going to fix this and this and that. That's too this for that. That's not how we work FDN at all, because if you do FDN right, health improves, because it's a general health-building program which pushes out some of that malfunction and the symptoms and disease. And so a rising tide raises all ships. So ultimately, symptoms will just go down naturally as part of that process. That's just sort of how it works. So I don't really want to know of 100 different symptoms, because within a month, you're going to lose about 60 of those. So those 60 of those 100 that you don't even need to worry about anymore, because they're gone. And then you keep working, and then more and more of those symptoms will go away. The person feels better and better. So it's more or less to get a good start from the beginning of who they are, what they're dealing with, and then see the numbers start to go down, and helps guide you, you know, in your process, but you're still going to work in a real general way, because you have no idea what underlying causes and malfunctions are causing the symptoms. We don't know. And that's why we're not symptom specific, because if we did that, it's like whack-a-mole, right? Trying to hit that game that you used to have growing up where you hit the arcade game like that. Knock down one symptom, something else comes up. This whole crazy process that you go through. So dealing with the malfunction and the underlying root causes based on what you're seeing on testing, that's really where it's at. That's FDN fundamental, right? That's 101 basics of FDN. It's what, well, works so well. So probably what Reed was doing here with this one is probably just shortcutting it a tad there to kind of get the person to focus on just a few things, a small list rather than a whole lot of them. Because when you're not feeling well, probably I'm going to say that most of you guys out there have dealt with some kind of health challenge. Probably one reason why you got into this course and into this business, very likely. There's a few of us that have not had much going on, but most people have a story. And you know, when you're in the midst of that story and that battle, that struggle, you've got so many symptoms, it's hard to keep everything in mind. It's craziness. It's just this crazy, chaotic thing that you're into. And by focusing on just a few, I think it helps you bring a little bit of it distills it down a little bit to where you focus just on these, and also helps your person, I think, trust in the process too. Because I think what I just explained, I explained that probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 times at least throughout the time I'm working with somebody, just going back to those principles of what we're doing, what we're trying to accomplish. Because we have so much of this brainwashing about real specific symptom treatment. So that's how I think I would respond to that one. Brandy, maybe you're familiar with that precise video, but that's my overall feeling when it comes to how to take a 500 metabolic chaos scorecard points and sort of make sense of all that, and how do you take that and bring that down into something you can manage and you can have time to ask about, because you don't have time during your coaching sessions to ask about 100 symptoms. How is your skin? How is your right knee? How is your left knee? How is your ear? How is your – you can't do that. So that's why you've got to keep it down, just these main complaints, because ultimately we know – we're going to work on all those with our non-specific approach.
Yeah, I think you did a really good job of explaining that. I take from it, it's like a mindset shift, like you said, because when clients are coming to us, they're in that mindset of, I have this symptom, I go to the doctor gives me something for my symptom. And that's just not how we work in FDN. And so you're right. I mean, if we, in every session, ask them about a list of 20 symptoms that they're having and how they improve, I mean, that would take up a whole entire session. And I think I've heard Reed say before, you know, you can word it something like, if I had a magic wand and I could get rid of your top three health complaints, what would they be? That just gets your client to stop focusing so much on all of the symptoms, because we're trying to have that mindset shift with them. And with what we do, it affects every area of their life that, like you said, Brandon, it could like eliminate half of their symptoms, but we're just not focusing on it. I hope that makes sense. But like you said, we're not going to spend the time talking about 20, 30 symptoms in every single session, because that's not the focus. We're not giving them something for each one of their symptoms. We're working on them as a whole person.
Yes, very good. Perfectly stated there. We want to acknowledge that person and hear them out, and they can talk about some of those things, but to only a certain degree, because we've got a job to do. We can be a counselor, and we can talk with people and be a friend and help support them, hear them out, and be maybe the only one that understands really what they're going through and their symptoms, and that they're not crazy and all those things. We get to experience working with somebody, but ultimately it's about, we got to get results. So that's cool. All right, so let's shift gears, transition. Okay, let's talk about what you're doing, and going back to the principles of addressing foundational things that we saw here on your lab testing. So ultimately it comes back to that, behavioral change working through address protocol. And it works well. Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool. So let's. Here's a quick one. Brandy, I think you can definitely handle this one. I'm looking everywhere for the doctor referral to send to clients when something's found on the 401H. I've looked everywhere in the FDN docs and can't find it. Can anyone help me, please?
I can definitely answer that question. So whenever the test results come in for a stool test, they always get sent to us here at FDN first. We review them, and then we put together the doctor referral letter for you, and we'll email that to you with the test results. So you should have both the test results and the doctor referral letter in your results email from us, from FDN. So it's not something that you're going to find in the document hub on FDN Connect. It's always going to be something that we email to you.
Yep. Very good. Customized. Maybe they're preparing for a practical there or something, had a question on that. But, yep, we'll send that to you. And hopefully you book in for a little consult to go over them too. So half-hour medical director consult. So you can talk with us about the case, and we can add our 2 cents to it, come together and help you interpret properly and make sure you've got a good protocol going into your R&R. That's a fun part of my job too. I get to talk to you guys out there doing that work. So we could talk a whole hour about the medical director program, but we'll move on to that. All right. Well, 20 minutes left in the call, so if you have a question, now is the time to chime in and ask it. Thanks, guys, for listening live there. I know I've talked to several folks that don't catch the live call, but they listen and say, I listen every single week, and it's so helpful. We love the Friday call. So glad to hear that feedback, for sure. So this is, like I said, record a call. So if you miss it, it's okay. Grab the download, streaming there. We give a link out to that for that call every time with some show notes. So I'll let you know what we covered, the exact question I'm reading off. We've got that in there, and you can fast forward to that question if you want to listen to our response. Let's see. There was another one here, a business one I want to ask about here. If I can find it. It was from AFGMP, maybe. Give me a second here. Well, I'll move on, but I'll see if I can find that question. It was a good one, more of a business question. I like the question. So, all right. So let's see here. Grab this one here. This person here is preparing for their practical number one. I think I answered this one last week. Oh, no, it's not. Okay. So a lot of people preparing for practical number one with some questions here, because that practical number one is one of the first real big practicals, right? So the onboarding is going to be a little shorter, a little more on the business side, talking about what you do, the 8 questions, and getting through that process there, bringing a client on. But then the big first practical is practical number one. So, and they had a couple questions. So in the sample email I'm supposed to send before the session, it states I should attach a hormone check record as well as order from some BioHealth and Ultralife. I can't seem to find any of these files anywhere and don't remember them being discussed. Anyone know where I can find them, what I'm supposed to do with them in the session? So those are all going to be either they're going to be on that stop in the course there, or you can go to the FDN Connect and you can go to the document section there. And they'll be in the different folders there depending on where, what aspect of what you're doing. So I think it's the results folder that they're going to be in, I believe. So you've got a few forms there. So the hormone check record, that's a lot like the diet check record that we have. So that person can mark on that record there. So it's something you would explain, the question was, I guess, here was, what am I supposed to do with them? So the hormone check record, the way you're going to use that, they're going to be as if the person you're working with, you're recommending some hormone drops for them. Then they can, on that sheet there, they can mark as they increase and sequence and titrate those. So if they're adding one in, you know, one drop of this the first day, 2 drops the second day, 4 drops the third day, they mark as they're adding those in. And then they also mark, a lot like the DCR, diet check record sheet, they mark how they're feeling. So it's a way for them to, if they, you know, want to write it down and do it that way, which is nice for you as a client, as a practitioner, because you've got some data there to help them troubleshoot. It's just a way of them listening to their body and finding out what's the right level for them. So they might work up, you know, full top maximum amounts of all those, and feel just fine. Or halfway through, they say, okay, that's probably all I need to do. So it's just a way for them to write down sequence and titration of the hormone drops specifically. I think licorice root's on there too. So some of the drops there, that's on that sheet. So I would probably take some time to at least let them know that's there, explain it to them briefly, but they're going to be using that as they're working in their protocol. So that's that one. Then, of course, the BioHealth Ultralife order forms. It's a nice way for your clients, for you to go ahead and help them with the ordering process. So depending on how you want to do supplements, how you do that, you can order supplements or you can stock them in your office if you want to. There's some advantages to that. There's also some disadvantages of that. Or a client can order directly from the different companies that we are partnered with, and you have these awesome wholesale accounts, practitioner accounts with, which is cool. So depending on how they, you know, how you structure things, these sheets here are order forms, and you can go ahead and mark on like BioHealth one or Ultralife, whatever you're recommending, how many bottles of each, the quantity, and then they can go ahead and see the pricing there. So if they call in, they want to place their order, they can look at that sheet and make sure, hey, they've got the right item number. Just, it sort of reduces error on the client's part. So if they look on the website and they pick the wrong DHEA, you meant, you know, DHEA drops, but they picked some DHEA tablets, and you want them to have the drops. This way you can sort of guarantee, hey, get the right one. That way they won't have to send it back, and reduces some frustration for them. I like for my clients to order on their own. That's much easier, especially if you have more than 5 clients. Trying to order for all your clients and keep things stocked can be pretty time-consuming and a lot of work. And so I prefer my clients to be a little more self-sufficient and be thinking about, you know, oh, I'm about to run out of this, or just so they're a little more hands-on and take a little more active approach when it comes to their own health. So that's what those are for there. And those would have been sent with you probably, well, should have been with your R&R. So we go ahead and fill it out for you based on what we're recommending for you based on your test results there. Maybe an international or something where it couldn't be shipped. Who knows? But that's the basic use of those. Lots of good documents in the doc folders there. So take a look at some of those things that are very handy.
Yeah, I don't really
anything
have
to add to that, Brandy.
I don't really have much to add. You explained that really well. I, like you said, I would just, if you haven't already done that, go to the Document Hub and take a look at all, like there are so many documents in there. So if you have some time, it might be good for you to familiarize yourself with the different documents that we do have available for you, so that if you're looking for them in the future, you'll know how to find them.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Indeed. And they're all always going to be there. So you can download them anytime that you want to, a fresh test comparison worksheet or an IDA protocol, whatever you need. You can always use that as your place to download. Right. I'm still looking for a question about business here. I know it's going to be here somewhere. Oh, here it is. Yeah. All right. So this is the one I was thinking about. So the person says, I'm preparing an upcoming talk and would like to offer a free lab test like the HTMA. Has anyone else done this, given away a lab kit as a promotion? If so, how do you handle the rest, like your time, preparing analysis on the results? Do you charge them for that? Not sure if this is doable. All right, so cool. I like questions like this. You're thinking about different ways to grow your business. And I think that upcoming talk is a talk is a great way to do it. I've had a lot of success with speaking in public and having a booth at some place or a table set up or opportunity to speak at some kind of gathering. That's how Reed did a lot of what he did in building his business, was just getting in front of people or setting up his own lunch and learn some of those things. I think those things are great. Doesn't have to, just because we have the technology and can do webinars and things like that, doesn't mean that you always have to. I like speaking in front of people and connecting with people and shaking some hands and looking at that person, getting a feel for them. I had a lot of success doing it that way. It works well. So good job there as far as, you know, getting out there in front. But So the idea of offering maybe a free lab test there, I'll just say something real brief, and Brandon, maybe you can jump on this one too. So I think one of the things you might run into with that is that it's ideal that your client does self-testing, meaning they pay for the lab test. So that keeps it sort of in their hands. You're facilitating them having access to that lab, so really they are the one that's self-testing. And then your fees and what you charge really should be based on your expertise and your time with them. That's the typical model. It doesn't mean maybe you couldn't do a credit or something like that and shift it around that way with this one, but I just like the idea of a person paying for the labs themselves directly.
Yeah, that's a good point. I had to think about that question a little bit because, you know, it's always that fine line of you paying for the test. The only exception that I would maybe think could work would maybe being an MRT. But I would say, you know, this is where you could use a lot of different tools. So we talked earlier in the call about the diet check record sheets. I mean, you could offer a session where you send those to a client, they fill them out for a week, and then they get to spend half an hour or an hour with you for free, where you review those diet check record sheets with them, you give them some suggestions and some recommendations. And that may be a good starting point where they can see, you know, what kind of coaching that you offer, and then maybe they'd be interested in jumping into a package with you. The reason I said the MRT is because, I mean, as FDNs, we can order those directly. So that might be a good option. And the review of an MRT is pretty straightforward. So it's not like you're going to be putting together a really big protocol where they will need some ongoing support. So that could be something to think about. I don't know if that's, I'd have to think more about that, but those are some ideas that I thought of.
Those are some good ideas. I like that. I like the DCR idea. I think that's really good.
Yeah.
I can see that working practically big time. Sometimes I'll do a little giveaway at things like that where I do a couple coaching sessions. And so I just let them sort of take the direction they want to, but I think maybe a little more structure with a DCR would be even better. Or sometimes I'll say, I do usually a free consultation, so if they take advantage of my free consultation, maybe they, you know, one, the two free sessions with me, I'll just take the value of those sessions and subtract that off the cost of the package. And so that would be a promotion way you could do that.
Yeah, the other thing
a lot of people do take advantage of that.
Yeah, that would be a good one too. I mean, the other thing I just thought of is, you know, we have the dress guide. So you could maybe offer some sessions where you go through the dress guide and you kind of give them some pointers and some information where you can cover things like sleep and stress and exercise and diet. So, I mean, there's definitely different avenues and ways of doing it, but I like the idea too of the, you know, the two free sessions and just subtracting it from your package because it's an incentive for them to buy a package with you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So yeah, I think lots of ways you can do that. But I think promotions are fun. People like to win things. And I think some of the people that have won those two free sessions for me, you know, sometimes when it's a random drawing, that may not be the right person. They may never redeem those. You may never hear from that person. But a lot of times it falls into the right hands. And a person that's been wanting to work with you anyhow or had an interest in that, or maybe it sparked something in them. So, yeah, I think those are always fun to do. Door prizes, things like that. That's cool. I think, and obviously you can do that with online too. It doesn't have to be face-to-face. You could do that with a webinar, that type of focus too. So we do that with a lot of our promotions for the course. So, yeah, good ideas there. Good things. Yeah, and you guys listening there want to add your two cents to that. That's a good question, I think, to throw out to the listening audience there. If you've done some promotion like that, what's worked for you? What have you used in the past? And what do you like to do? Do you like to get out in front of people? Do you like to be more behind the camera? How do you let people know that you exist? Like I said in the beginning, that's one of the things you have to master is getting out there and talking with people and saying very eloquently and hopefully understandably how you work and what you do. And you'll find people that are ready. You know, some people have no interest at all. Don't even want to talk about their health. Other people just, all they do is want to talk about their health and not really do anything. That's another category. But there's a lot of people that really do have a good understanding of how we work and the process. And it makes, I actually had a conversation with a lady last night in a restaurant I was eating at. And she had heard I was a practitioner, and she said, I think this approach is just the most logical. She had heard somebody else on television talk about some similar ways of looking at, okay, well, why is this happening to you? Not just until you take a drug, why is this happening? So that concept, people like that concept. They understand it really well. So just be ready to engage in conversation, talk a little bit about what you do, and then if they're interested, of course, you know, you funnel them into whatever way that you do your consultation. So I still always do a free consultation with people. I think it works really well. I use the 8 questions, go down through those. I have my packages set up. We talk about things, and most of the time bring them on as a client. So I still like that. I really need to know the person. I choose not to put pricing on my website, for example, for packages. Some people will do that. I'd rather talk to that person because sometimes just that dollar amount can scare people off. Sometimes because they don't know what they're getting, right? So if I said, here's $15,000 for a car, but they don't know if it's, you know, an old beater or a Rolls Royce, $15,000, they don't know if that's really a good deal or not. So if you can express to them the value of what you're offering and you can solve a problem for them, and if it's a big enough problem, then the price will probably be just fine. It'll be worth that price to solve that problem for them. That's, I think, one of the main things you want to establish with a welcome call is what I just said. So that's why we do the onboarding session. You get to practice going through that process with the mentor. And sometimes I'll throw some curveballs at you and have to think on your feet there, but it's all fun because it's practice for you. Not sure how I came up with all that, but maybe that was part of that question. I don't know.
No, I agree with you because the welcome call is a good idea too, because you may find, you know, when you're talking to the person, maybe it's not the right fit. And you wouldn't know that if somebody just saw your pricing on your website and, you know, purchased with you and you started working with them. You can generally get a good idea when you start talking with somebody in a welcome call, whether or not you think it's going to be the right fit. And maybe they're not even ready. So it's a good idea to do that.
Indeed. Good stuff. All right. Well, 5 minutes left in the call today. So if you want to ask a question, now is the time. Otherwise, we'll, I'm sure, use the next 5 minutes up with another question here. So I'm looking at the switchboard there. Anybody want to jump on? If not, then we'll go on to another one here. Mm-hmm. so many questions, I have trouble picking, guys. Sorry, I'm indecisive today. I have decision fatigue from this week. let's see here. I don't think I've answered this one yet. So this one says, does the test comparison worksheet work with any laboratory? I'm in Mexico City, and I found a functional lab that's almost the same test result, same test as BioHealth, so I'm wondering if the worksheet could work with this too. So that worksheet there, the test comparison worksheet, it is an editable Excel spreadsheet. It's nothing too terribly fancy. It's got some cool stuff built into the background, but nothing that that you couldn't probably learn how to go back and edit and do. So I guess technically, yeah. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't speak. Maybe Brandy should speak more on this one, but I don't know if there's any reason why you couldn't take that comparison worksheet there. And if you know the optimum ranges based on that lab, then you could put those ranges in there and have them highlight based on those ranges. You wouldn't have the FT and optimums, you'd have the lab ranges, but that short of it is that document is editable. So you can go in there and make some changes to things if you wanted to. So I guess the answer is yes, you could.
Yeah, I guess it's a matter of if you know what the optimal ranges are for that lab, then go ahead and use the template that we've already provided. I think that's the biggest thing, is just knowing the ranges that you need to put in there. It probably wouldn't work with the ranges that are already set up in that sheet, but if you know how to go in and edit it and you have the correct ranges, then go ahead and use it, and use it as a tool with the tests that you want to run where you are.
Mm-hmm. And I guess you do get the advantage of that as a comparison worksheet. So you do get to put four test results in there so you can look at the changes, even if the ranges are different. So there is that advantage, I guess. So regardless, it would be a nice thing to put results into so you can look at things and see how they progress over time. That would be good. And maybe the graph on there is helpful for you as well. So indeed. So, yeah, go for it. And if it works really good, maybe share it with us so we can see what you've done with it. All right. Well, I lied. We have time for one more question. So let's see where we want to go with this one. Well, here's a hormone drop question. I think I've answered something like this quite a few times, at least on calls. So this question is, if someone has shown improvement with hormone support and now at the 12-week point of taking these, do we start to titrate them off or keep going if it looks like they might benefit from a bit more improvement? How long is okay to keep them on these, or at what point do we see if their body can keep up, especially if we're addressing all the other markers and things we're seeing there? So maybe I shouldn't have picked this one because that's maybe a long answer, but I think the short of this is, when it comes to hormone drops and doing these, it's going to be a case-by-case basis, right? So first of all, if test results say yes, that there's some room here to support the body with the drops, history says it's cool, the person wants to go and do that, then you have the green light to go ahead and make some recommendations and sequence and titrate those and see how the body responds. If you've got some levels that are kind of close to the optimum range, you might want to do a little spot testing before the 12 weeks is up, or just go with a spot test or a full test at 205, or at 205 at 90 days. Sorry, the lady's talking in my ear saying the call's ending. Do a little check there with the 205. And see where things are at. And I think, yeah, you evaluate from there. So if the person has felt a lot of benefit, numbers aren't quite where we want them to be yet, you're doing everything else, you definitely could continue with those for, I think, easily another 3 months would be fine. In most cases, would be great. If the numbers are looking a lot better, if they're feeling better, then, yeah, ultimately you're going to come to like a reverse sequence in titration. So come off of those, and you're going to know how the person feels, you know, listening to the body there collectively. So that's the short answer there with that. I think keeping on forever without monitoring, I think, is irresponsible. We shouldn't do that. But I think if you put all those checks in there, then you can do it very responsibly, and they can be a super benefit to what you do in your protocol. Whew, all right. That's a quick answer. So we're gonna call it a day. So, guys, thanks for tuning in. Congratulations to our 5 graduates. Elizabeth, also for the call, the good question there. And questions you guys wrote in, good stuff. We'll come back again next week here, talking with you guys again. And, of course, Brandy, thanks for being with me today.
Of course. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.